This episode is sponsored by Core Essentials. That's K-O-R-E, Core Essentials. They make the best belt you'll ever own. The Core track belt adjusts to match your waist exactly. Check out coreessentials.com and save 10% when you use our code TMS at checkout. That's Core with a K, coreessentials.com, and use the code TMS to save 10%. Coming up on TMS, The Boy Who Lived.
Hi, I'm Steven, and I'll be your co-host today.
Oh, that's great. What the heck happened in San Diego and more on this episode of The Morning Stream?
Feeling good about himself, about you, and about Hardee's.
Goo ball.
The Morning Stream. Sweep the leg.
Is this all working? Beep, beep, boop. I'm pushing buttons. I think it's all working. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for July 23rd, 2018. I am Scott Johnson. Rumors of my death were exaggerated, but not that much.
Oh, my.
It was a little... Little tuck and keep. That's not a phrase. It was a little close a couple times there. And wasn't great, but we'll talk about it. I won't try to bore you too much with it. I'm so happy, though, to say that Steven Schleicher is my co-host today. Hi, Steven.
Oh, Scott, I am so glad that you're back and so glad that you're feeling better.
Oh, thanks, man. It was a rough 6-7 days. Still a little, got a little couple things going there, a little cough, a little...
You got to go slow, right? You got to go slow and ease back into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, now, what is this? Did you eat some bad dip, or did you eat a bean off the floor or something?
So, it's funny. People have been asking where I thought this all came from. I actually have a theory about it, and I've been thinking long and hard about it because I've had time to think long and hard about it, because I hardly left my bed. Like, honestly, this has been the worst, and I'm not... This is not hyperbole. This is not me... You know, stretching the truth for fun on the radio, the worst extended illness I've ever had in my life. And ironically, I was just thinking, like, the week before, or a few days before this hit, I was thinking, man, I've been lucky lately. I haven't had, like, a bad cold or anything.
You did it.
Yeah,
you
I did it. I cursed myself. I totally
jinxed
did.
It.
And it happened, it happened that it was going to come right after I was thinking that way because I was so pleased with myself. Look at me over here with the, I got the whole, you know, I still have that barf record, which I still have, by the way, I'm proud to say. I still have my barf record. I haven't puked since 2005, so that's still a thing, still running. But I don't get sick that often, and I don't count, like, when I had that gut thing, and when that flares up, that's separate. I don't count that. I'm talking, like, viruses or bacterial invasions. Like, it just doesn't happen to me that often. We get fed really well here, at least when my wife's in town. So when she leaves town, that's a different issue. But I am happy to report nobody else caught this yet. So hopefully I was it. And that was all because the kids didn't get it. Kim didn't get it so far anyway. Anyway, so right when I'm thinking, oh, yeah, dude, you're not sick and you haven't been for a long time. That's freaking great. Aren't you great? Is what I was saying to myself about myself. And then, boom, if anyone remembers this, last Monday's show, I talked on the air about how I thought the storms were getting to me.
Yes, I remember that.
You remember that?
I do, like, because I was like, oh, then that should be coming this way.
Yeah. We like to send what we have to Kansas. You're our dumping ground for our weather, so you're welcome. But anyway,
thank you.
When it was hitting me, I was just like, oh, this headache, where's this coming from? Oh, I feel really lethargic and weak and tired, and there's I got the kind of chills and stuff, and in my head I'm going, well, I'm not sick, so it must be something else. And so I'm like, yeah, it must be the weather, it's the rheumatiz, or, you know, whatever old people
would say.
You're
getting old. Yes.
And it was the day before my birthday, so I thought, this, it's a sign of the birthday, it's a psychosomatic something. And I kept on believing that through Monday, so technically I guess Sunday night I was coming down with symptoms and didn't recognize them for what they were. And then Monday, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm doing shows and doing my thing, and I'm just kind of out of it all day. I kind of felt like crap all day, but not that bad, but enough to just sort of, better take a nap between things, that sort of thing. And then along comes Tuesday, and that's the day that I should have recognized as hell day hath come, because I am sweating like a pig, intermittently shaking cold. I'm all clammy and the just the whatnot. And just that's the day. And I went ahead and still did shows. Did a Tuesday morning thing. I think I sounded like a lunatic that day. And I did a current geek that evening and all that. That was my birthday, by the way. No fun. I felt like shit.
Yeah.
My entire birthday sucked. So that was a thing. And then by that night, I'm like, oh, all right. Well, I'm a zombie. This is bad. I'm sick. Something's wrong. And then I start checking things like temperatures, you know.
Like you do.
And I'm like, 103? What is this? 103 will put you in the hospital. And you start seeing monkeys and stuff. Like, you start having freaky daydreams.
Fever dreams?
Yeah. And I have them, man. I'm telling you. The fever dreams I had this week were relentless, repetitive, and mean. I don't like them. I never want them again. Thanks a lot, brain. You're a piece of crap. So this is going on. And it would come and go. The fever would spike at like 102, at some point 103, and then it would abate, and then I would be so hungry, Stephen.
Oh yeah.
So hungry, out of my mind hungry. While the fever's on, I don't want to eat a thing. Everything looks like crap. Everything makes me nauseous.
No, feed a fever, starve a cold.
I know. Well, I hear all that stuff's a bunch of baloney, isn't it?
Like, well, I mean, depending on which way you go, I mean, it's your body trying to burn off the fever or burn off the virus.
Yeah.
And so you have to eat more food to power that that generator.
So you're just giving
burns it out.
So you're just giving it fuel is what you're saying.
Yeah. Now, bacteria, if you have a bacterial infection, a cold, that's when you don't want to feed it because it wants all the sugar and food to thrive itself.
Right. I didn't think about that. Maybe there is something to it. I had a big argument with my daughter, but I was in a fever state and I couldn't understand what she was saying. And everyone had like three eyes and it was terrible. So anyway, I'm starving in between fever spikes. Like,
yeah.
As soon as the fever would break, first of all, I never got out of bed. I'm laying in bed. And fever, all tied up, oh, freezing cold, wife's got like four blankets on me, and then all of a sudden, I would just like explode in a sweat ball like you've never seen and just soak through everything. I was so sweaty. So then it was just like, give me some water, give me whatever. And so I would drink and I would drink and I would drink and I'd go to the kitchen and I made myself, I ate half a steak cold out of a baggie and,
Nothing wrong with that.
No, it was really good. It was so good. And I ate a big, like a bag of, not a whole bag, but a bunch of Doritos and just everything that looked like carby, proteiny kind of, just everything looked really good to me.
Hot dog in a tortilla?
That's too much preparation. See?
Oh, okay.
I just need to go and grab and eat. And I kept thinking, every time that would happen, I go, this is it. Fever's broken. We're on the home stretch, everybody. This is great. And then a half hour later, fever again.
Now, are you a medication person? Do you take some Tylenol to bring the temperature down?
I did. I would and did this week or this last week.
Mm-hmm.
However, the doctor told me, because I did eventually talk to my doctor.
Good.
He said, all right, here's the deal. It's the flu. You got full-blown flu, the kinds that kill old people. And kids, so you know, it can kill you, so freaking be careful, stay hydrated. There's not a lot we can give you. You can take Tylenol or ibuprofen intermittently or you know, back and forth to break the fever, and that works with the ibuprofen for me. Mm-hmm. Tylenol does jack shit. Can I just say something real quick about Tylenol? When you and I were kids growing up, Tylenol was like, somebody spiked the Tylenol with a freaking cyanide,
yeah.
And they gave it to kids for Halloween or whatever. I don't remember what the deal is. I may have
something like that.
I may have conflated two things because the Halloween thing was like people would put glass in their chocolate or something.
Right, right.
But they would be like, yeah, here you go, Tylenol. And then you'd eat it and then you'd die because someone poisoned it. And then my theory is that Tylenol used to work. And then after that, everyone got so freaked out that they watered that down to nothing. So even when they say extra strength, it's just air, basically. And now it doesn't do anything because I took Tylenol as directed. It doesn't do anything for me. Nothing. Nothing for headaches. Nothing for fevers. Doesn't do jack. So F Tylenol. Get back on your boat and go back to where you came from, Tylenol. You suck. Ibuprofen, on the other hand, which I know you got to be careful with and quantity and all that. I was careful with it, but that would kill the that would break the fever. But the doctor says, look, I'm not sure I'd recommend doing that because this may just take longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it won't help you feel better. It will, but it will just delay the inevitable, which is you've got to burn through this. So I said, okay, I'll stop taking it for a couple of days. And I did. And those were a rough couple of days, but I think he's right. I think it bought me some time.
And you didn't, at any point did it go through your head, I need to go run a mile?
No, although on Tuesday morning, I did just that because I didn't know what I had yet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, I was a mess. Like, just did not feel good at all.
Mm.
Like,
so this was like super virus, right? I mean, in the past, you talk about going and burning that out with some exercise, and this time it just kind of fought back.
Yeah, this was something special. This was off, like, this isn't just off the rack virus. This was something, this is the kind of thing, I mean, I was in bed 7 days in a row.
Ugh.
Just couldn't do anything. And when I would sit up, I'd just go, oh my gosh, what am I doing sitting up? I have to lay down. Like, mm-hmm. That sucks, man. You may as well just be a worthless turd if you feel that bad. And I feel like I totally was. I couldn't draw. I couldn't do any podcast, anything. I couldn't hardly do anything. At some point, when the fever would break, I would work on, I got to get these cards fulfilled this month. So I'm working on playing cards and doing layouts and stuff. And I'm just squinting at screens going, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And then it'd be too much and I'd have to go lay down again. I mean, it was so, so bad that I honestly, at some point, there was one of the nights where the fever was consistently high all night.
Mm-hmm.
And this racking cough was coming on. And Kim says I was just like a hot rock. And I'm seeing things and hearing things. I mean, honestly, that could have been the time. That could have been it.
Yeah.
Just take me now, Jesus. Kind of.
Oh, man, you're lucky.
I really did feel that way. So at the end of it all, I feel all right today. Finally.
That's
actually
good.
Today, the fever broke Saturday afternoon. Yesterday was Sunday, and that felt like recoup day where I just sort of, you know, was still very slow and kind of bumbling around and stuff. But I kind of recuperated. And this morning, I actually feel pretty damn good. So,
well, that's good. Now I got a question.
Yeah.
At any point when you were starting to come out of it,
yeah,
did you ever think that you were going to end up in an episode of like The Walking Dead where he's waking up after a hospital stay and suddenly the zombie apocalypse has erupted?
Yeah, I did think about that. And and then I thought about how all my future story arcs would be me moving to a town, thinking things were cool, and then having it all go to crap and then moving to the next town.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, I know where you're coming from. When I was in college,
yeah,
I had that same summer fever hit me and I was all by myself. So for like 3 or 4 days, I would wake up in the morning. I would call in sick to the office, say, I'm just too sick to come in.
Yeah.
And then just sleep. And I remember I had one large glass of water that I drank throughout the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, about Friday, someone came over to check on me to make sure I wasn't dead.
Yeah.
And they're like, I think we need to get you to a doctor's office. And I was like, I don't even know what my temperatures were. I just know that when I walked into a doctor's office, you know, you don't just do that,
no.
You know, out of the blue. But they took me right away. They went and saw me.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we have to do some blood tests on you now because we don't know how long this fever's been going on or anything like that. So they drew blood. I remember almost passing out when I was writing a check to pay for the visit.
Yeah.
Turns out my white blood cell count had dropped so low that they demanded that I come back every week for like 2 months to have more blood drawn to make sure that my white blood cell count was going back
up. Oh, yeah, you got to have those. Those are important.
Yeah. Those help fight off the infection.
Turns out you need those. Yeah. They did stop short of doing any blood work on me, but I don't know why. I have to keep an eye on like this cough, make sure it's not bronchitis, make sure it doesn't develop into anything worse. Blah blah blah. But it does look like I'm out of the woods, and like your illness, I'm probably a better man for it. I don't know.
So let's think about something, Scott.
All
now
right.
Your wife Kim had been away at camp. With a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
She comes back and you get sick.
Yeah, I thought about that. Okay, here are the current theories.
Because, again, your kids are all past that age of, like, let's just infect everybody. My kids are past that age now to where I don't get as sick as much.
Right.
Kim goes off. She comes back. You're sick.
Yeah, she was with a bunch of teenage girls. I thought about this. That's number one. That's a theory on the table. My current leading theory, though, is this. Sunday of last week, so a week ago yesterday, I very hesitantly used a public drinking fountain.
Oh, no!
Now, I don't normally go for that. That's not my brand of thirst quenching. I would rather die in most cases. I just don't trust them. However, I was in a office-y sort of place-looking place that seemed cleanish, and I just thought, I am really thirsty. I wonder if this is not a problem. And I kind of looked at it and went, eh, it looks all right. And then I
did
it.
You didn't rub it off with your sleeve or your T-shirt or something first?
No, but I wish I would have now, because that would have at least made me feel better at the time. But right now, that's my leading cause, because I don't trust those freaking things ever. Like, when should you ever trust a public drinking fountain? Unless it's the last water source on Earth, you probably shouldn't drink out of it. So I think that may have been it. So it's down to that, what Kim brought back from camp. And she's just, you know, super immune or something.
Yeah.
Which is entirely possible. Or the other theory is my daughter's dog, Izzy.
Licked your face.
Licked my face so hard that her tongue, her bulbous tongue, entered my mouth.
Right.
Now, as we know, scientifically, dogs' mouths are cleaner than humans. This has all been proven. Right. However, if you got them right after they were clean
the poop.
Yeah, if they just ate a poop or just cleaned the undercarriage or, you know, otherwise have been occupied with their tongue as a tool of cleaning, it's very possible I got a mouthful of the Denver there. And I didn't I didn't want that. So it's possible all three of those things may have combined to create a super bug. I don't know. But all I know is there's nothing fun to do when this happens. TV's no fun. Reading books sucks. Video games are hard. Everything's bad when you feel like this. And I don't ever want to feel this way again. So I come out of it with renewed effort to not ever have something that dumb again. And I hereby... here's my commitment. I will never put my face anywhere near a drinking fountain ever again.
You just jinxed yourself again.
Oh gosh, dude.
If there's one positive thing that comes out of all of this, everyone was finally able to catch their podcast listening this week.
I wondered about that actually.
I got to yesterday and was like, oh my gosh, I'm out of podcasts. Why is this? I'm like, Scott's sick.
See, this happens. People tell me this. They say when I'm gone for any period of time, they go, wait a minute, why is my feed empty? And that makes me, that's both heartening and a little frightening at the same time. But thank you all for your patience. I really apologize. I do not like being gone from shows for this amount of time ever. You know, like one day here or there for an appointment or something, that's different. But an extended chunk of time where a bunch of stuff gets affected, do not like.
Mm-hmm.
Do not endorse, and I promise to not drink out of a public drinking fountain ever again, so that we all can be together here at the fires of Mount Doom. All right.
Why couldn't they just fly?
I don't know. I don't know. Why couldn't they?
I don't know.
It's always a good question. Okay, before we go on, I need to talk about Core Essentials. Core Essentials, that's K-O-R-E, Essentials. They make these belts. And I'm telling you right now, it's the best belt you're ever going to own. What makes the Core track belt so awesome? No belt holes. I'm wearing it right now. There are no belt holes in this belt I'm wearing. That's right. Instead, their belts are using a little hidden track. And it's on the back of the belt with over 40 size points to choose from. Ever wonder why your pants slip and turn that waistline into a gut? Well, every day as you work, eat, play, play some more, work some more, play. Your waist size fluctuates in and out, just a little at a time. Well, the track belt adjusts to make your waist exactly what it should be. It matches it. Each point on the Core track belt is just a quarter inch apart. That simple, small innovation means you get precise, steady, and comfortable fits every time you put them on. Removing or adjusting a track belt is simple. Pinch the small tab under the buckle, and boom, you're done. Core's patented design also makes it easy to remove the buckle or swap styles. Core track belts ship one size to fit every waist from 24 to 48 inches. Hopefully you fit in that range. I did. With an XL belt, it goes up to 54. So don't worry, fellas. We got you covered. Anyway, you adjust the size yourself using their easy guide. Core offers a full line of fashion belts, including classic double stitch with full grain leather and smooth belts with no stitching, as well as a gun belt for conceal and carry. They also offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces. Made using solid stainless steel. That's what I'm looking at right here. I can almost see my face in it. Or high-grade zinc alloys. Kors men's belts carry a 30-day money-back guarantee or a full one-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear, or breakage. So feel confident when you shop and know that you're covered. Trust me, you're going to love this thing. Probably going to get rid of all your other belts. I also got rid of my belt. I have old crappy belts. They're gone. I just now wear the Kors one. Visit Kors Essentials with a K. That's KorsEssentials.com. And learn more and get your own Kors track belt to see firsthand why it's the best belt you're ever going to put on. Seriously, once you go Kors track, you'll never go back. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Save 10% off your order when you use our code TMS at checkout. That's Kors with a K, KorsEssentials.com, and use the code TMS to save 10%.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Oh, look, everyone, it's the news, and it's brought to you by Joust for Fun. Have you ever wanted to joust with a Yeti, Steven? Is that a thing that you're interested in?
Yeah, those are the big feats. Yeah, I can take them on.
It's pretty good. A luchador, a self-rescuing princess. What about a cyborg knight, arcade jouster, or circumference of the round table? Joust for Fun is an easy-to-learn card game featuring a wacky cast of characters and should, frankly, never be given to jousting, or should never be given jousting lances in the first place. Live on Kickstarter right now, Joust for Fun is a full movie and video game reference deal, cringeworthy puns, and unique combat systems. Today's featured art cards are El Rey Reel and Elbow Drop. You can go to Blackie. I apologize for that. That doesn't sound right at all. BlackKeyGames.com. That's BlackKeyGames.com to see today's featured art. All right. I had an idea since Steven was so nice to step aside from all things major spoilers today and spend an hour with me. Busy guy. Got a lot of father duties in the summer. Yep. All kinds of stuff. So I know, there's a lot going on. But San Diego Comic-Con just ended. Normally, we'd have you on for a Monday segment anyway, and we'd recap a bunch of that stuff. I thought, you know what would be cool? I'm not dead anymore, and Steven's coming on. Why don't we spend the news talking about the major stuff from the thing, from the deal?
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to do. Now, I think it's a weird thing to say this out loud, but the biggest thing at Comic-Con 2018 might have been the Aquaman trailer. And I don't mean not in a good way necessarily, right? Like, just sort of, it was by default your biggest deal.
Well, yes, because Marvel, we talked about this last week, Marvel was not there with any of their movie stuff. So it kind of fell over to Warner Brothers with Aquaman and Shazam and the Fantastic Beasts and Wonder Woman. And they did, and everyone was really excited to see what was going on with the Aquaman trailer because it's literally the next movie after all of the Justice League stuff. And people want to see, is this going to be better? Is this more of the same thing? Is it, ugh, this is worse? I think the answer is all three.
What'd you think of the trailer?
Liked it. Mm-hmm. I like the energy. Of course, I love Jason Momoa with the energy that he brings and just the I'm having fun. I mean, every time you see his face, you can tell that he's just I'm having fun with this. And if you don't understand that movies can be fun and being an actor is fun, then, you know, go away with you. I got no time for you.
Now,
so that was kind of cool.
According to the trailer, the origin story we got here is the dad's just a humble lighthouse operator, and the mom
That's the origin story, that he's of a man of two worlds. His father was a lighthouse keeper. His mother was queen of Atlantis, and they got together and had Arthur. And this movie, you can tell, really is using the New 52 Geoff Johns run on the Arthur Curry legend, where he's being called back because Orn is trying to take over. There's some Black Manta stuff that's going on. The real tell that this is Geoff Johns stuff is right at the end of the trailer. You see both Mera and Arthur jump into the ocean, and all of these like creatures start swarming down to follow them. That's taken directly out of the comic books, and I forget, it's in the first arc where these like black creatures are unearthed and start attacking everything. Mm. You know, it's definitely a more recent run that they're being inspired by as opposed to something from long ago. And maybe that's good. Maybe that's bad. I guess the biggest problem that I have with this is maybe it's too much. Mm. Maybe they should just focus on him coming back and becoming king. Mm. I don't know. When you have all three of those things in there, it just feels like too much.
It's the feeling I always get when there's more than one villain in a superhero movie. I just go, okay, guys, you could just have one and then work that one out You know, you don't need to have Sandman, Rhino, Octofart, or, you know, whatever, whatever 12 dudes you've got. Like, hang on to one of them. You got sequels to make. You don't need to that. And so in this case, it's less about villains and more about major arcs of character development being crammed into a single thing. Black Manta, by the way, I got to talk about him.
Okay.
That helmet's a little big.
It is.
It's a little goofy. That's all I want.
But, I mean, you've got to have a lot of electronics. You got to be able to breathe underwater. I mean, Black Manta is not he's not an Atlantean. He's not a water dweller. He's someone from the surface that is underwater and needs all that stuff to power himself.
That's a good point. All right. Well, Aquaman, it's coming.
In December.
How do we know this director?
What's his name? James Wan is now I forgot what stuff he has directed before. You would know it, though. Let's see. Let's run down his list. He has he's the producer for the upcoming Mortal Kombat movie. He did Jigsaw. He did The Conjuring 2. He did The Insidious Chapter 3. He did Saws 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 as the executive producer.
Okay.
He did Furious 7. That's probably where you know him from. As the director.
Right. That's the name. That's where the name's ringing a bell. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
and he
fine.
Did direct the first Saw movie, too.
Okay. So, yeah, he's one of those original Saw guys. That's how I know that name, too. And while you might look at that and go, oh, I don't know if that's great. Yeah, it's fine. He'll be fine.
I think this movie, you know, as I said, it seems to be a mixed review from a lot of people on all sides. But I got the feeling that this is a kind of a positive direction. And even though it's still kind of straddling that grimdark Justice League universe and something better to come, I think it's the thing that needs to be here right now.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that's coming. That's a thing. Let's see if they can Wonder Woman that and not Justice League that. That'd be cool. Tell me about Glass.
Oh, did you watch the trailer for this?
Okay, yeah, I did. So, all right. Is it a spoiler to tell people that last movie was in the Unbreakable universe, or people all know this now, or what?
I would think that it's been over a year, especially when news, again, spoilers for people. We're going to be talking spoilers today. But, you know, last year when, what was it, Shattered? No, what was the name of that thing?
Crazy Face. No,
yes,
I don't know.
Crazy Face McGee. Whenever that movie came out and it was revealed that this definitely resided in the Unbreakable universe. And suddenly, like literally the next week after the movie arrived, M. Night Shyamalan was out saying, oh, no, this definitely resides in there. There's a third movie that I'm working on, and it will be released soon, and it will feature all three of these characters coming together, Mr. Glass, Bruce Willis, and the monster, all getting out there, or the Beast, I forget what he was called, all coming together and wrapping up this comic book trilogy that has been in the making for, 20 years now?
Yeah, something like that. Oh, I love old Bruce Willis, you guys. I'm looking at the trailer right now.
It's really crazy because it starts out with all three of them in an asylum situation.
Oh, Split is the movie.
Yeah, Split. That's it. Yeah.
Split. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, a little outburst there.
No, no. I mean, it really, you know, it takes place in that asylum. And you're thinking, well, how did Bruce Willis's character end up in there? How did you end up in there, Unbreakable?
Yeah, no
And
kidding.
The trailer kind of gives some hints on maybe he was taken down and brought in. I don't know. It really looks cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome. And, of course, Samuel L. Jackson doing his... His glass face. What was I going to say? This also features, whether you know it or not, Nick Fury and Professor X.
Right.
Because these two guys play other characters in superhero movies. But I guess Bruce Willis is our kind of lone non-Marvel DC guy.
Well, I mean, but he's in a superhero movie, so I mean.
Well, that's true. Was he in Red? Was it?
I mean, he's in Red, which was a comic book movie.
Right.
But Unbreakable is definitely a superhero movie, regardless of what other people may say.
Oh no, that's the best thing about it is it doesn't feel like one, and so when you find out that it is, it changes your life. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm very excited about Glass. Let's bring Glass to the world. Let's make it happen. Let's have it be a thing.
It will be sooner than you think.
This next one I have a question about.
Yes.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Now, I saw the one back in the 2014, was it?
Yes, with Breaking Bad.
Yes. Well, he was in it briefly. I guess he wasn't in the whole thing. But Gareth Edwards was the director, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He ended up doing Rogue One. Was that his?
He did that one, yes.
So, you know, that was a star-making turn for him in terms of directorial business. And I remember really liking that reboot of Godzilla. I thought it was pretty strong, and it had a kind of Spielberg quality to it, or something about it I really liked. So I'd forgotten there was a sequel in the works called Godzilla King of the Monsters. What I thought I was going to get is not what I got when I watched this trailer. The trailer features a ton of other monsters. They call them Titans. They're apparently all over the world, according to this trailer. Buried under the deep in the caves and the whatever, and they got to find them to fight off the kaiju threat. And of course, the king of them all would be Godzilla. You see Mothra briefly. You see the three-headed, whatever that thing's called.
King Ghidorah.
Yeah, that thing. all the old
Rodan briefly.
Yeah, all the old favorites are here. but it's a very odd trailer, I thought. Like, it doesn't. I'm not exactly sure what I should be thinking or how excited I should or shouldn't be or whatever. So your take.
It's interesting because your take on the story is very much different than my take on the story in viewing the trailer, in that the woman who's speaking, Millie Bobby Brown's mother in the movie, seems to appear that humans are the problem on Earth.
That's
and the Titans,
who that girl is. Gosh dang it. It was driving me crazy. It's the girl from Stranger Things. It's just that she has hair and puberty now.
Yep.
But that sounds awful. Let me restate that. She's
grown up.
She's grown up a little, and she's got a ton of hair on her head, and that's different than her ego-eaten character from that other thing. So anyway, sorry. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I mean, my interpretation is the mother is saying, oh, no, the humans are the plague, and the Titans are coming to eradicate it, and eradicate us or most of us, because that's the only way that the planet is going to survive. But then King Ghidorah shows up, and that's like Invader from Space kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe the Titans are there to protect us from that. So the story is kind of split, and someone there in the chat had also mentioned that the trailer's story seems suspect.
Suspect?
Yeah, that it's hinting at one thing, but it's really something else.
Oh, that's
and if we can get an hour of let's beat up all the, you know, monster fight after monster fight, I'm all for that.
Right. No, I mean, that's what I want.
Yeah. Because
that's the true nature of these movies. These movies aren't supposed to be super cerebral. I mean, you can come up with characters that you care about, and that's great. But what this comes down to is just, hey, what if they all fought and destroyed cities in the process? That'd be cool. Also, Coach Taylor's in this from Friday Night Lights, so I'm automatically in. I'll see anything that dude's in.
No Gamera.
No Gamera, as best we can tell. I'm not
right.
I'll hold out a little bit of hope. You got 11, and then who's the other actress on here?
I don't know who the mother is in that.
I think I saw isn't the fish lady in this?
From
Dark Water. What is it?
Yeah. I don't know if that's her or not.
Okay. Let's see, they have King Watanabe. King Lord of the Rings king that died on the toilet.
I have no idea. This is Scott. Just a reminder, everyone. Scott has come away from a week of being extremely sick.
What's his name?
So the things that come out of his mouth.
Tywin. Tywin Lannister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the Viggo Farmiga is the evil mom or whatever her name is. She's great also. I'm sure that name is right.
Let's see. Anyway. Who is in this? Is it Vera Farmiga?
Yeah.
Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah.
No, okay.
She's pretty great. But I also thought I saw on a scene the lady from Dark Fishman in the Water.
Oh, man.
Last year's Oscar best movie.
I know which movie you're talking about. I don't know who that actor is.
All right. Well, King of the Monsters.
Boy, did she really have sex with that fishman.
Yeah, no. The fishman, let's just put it this way. No fishman has ever quite had a scene like that. good luck, Aquaman, with any sex scenes you might have had.
There you go.
Also, we got Star Trek Discovery is back. So is, I forgot what MITHC stands for.
I don't know. I was like, what is that?
Man in the High Castle, Doug.
Oh, Man in the High Castle, right. Oh, I'm really excited about that. You know, it's been over a year since we've saw Man in the High Castle season 2. And certainly people have been asking for over a year, when are we going to see that that new season? Mm-hmm. And Amazon said, hey, you're going to get to finally see it in October.
Yeah.
Also, we've greenlit season 4. So we're going to get hopefully both of those back to back. But this time the trailer goes into sci-fi territory, because not only have they figured out that that people are jumping from one reality to another, now they're trying to create essentially an Einstein-Rosen bridge to jump into these other dimensions. And in the, if I'm not mistaken, in the original Philip K. Dick story, that was kind of one of the big plot lines, was that the Nazis were trying to use this multiverse technology to jump into other dimensions and take them over.
Yeah, that that was a part of the book. And the question will be, is that too jarring for the audience? Because I think part of what they've done so well with the first two seasons, and by the way, one of my favorite shows on TV, like, period. It's amazing. I love it. And I could not, I can't, I'm so excited there's more. But it was always kind of rooted in more of a what if alternate history, and not so much a what if we could dink around with it alternate history. They've established that so well that I'm worried about, I'm not worried about me. I'm good. I'm worried about some audience going, oh, well, really? This is just to time travel and not me? Like that. I'm worried that they've established themselves so strongly in a kind of realism that they're going to be, that people are going to feel weird about that.
Season one had the Japanese secretary, you know, essentially meditate himself into the dimension where the Nazis and the Japanese did not win the war, essentially our reality.
That guy's so good.
Then in the second season, there was some more of that, as well as the man in the high castle coming forward and saying, oh, no, this is from someplace else.
Yeah.
And this is why this is all happening.
Yeah. Steven Root, by the way.
Yeah, which is really great.
It's so great. Everyone's good in it. That thing deserves way, way, way more critical attention than it gets. It's
well,
awesome.
The problem is they've had a year and a half of no man in the high castle.
That's true. There have been no men in the high or low castle that I'm aware of, but they are bringing it back. You get that in October. Also, Star Trek Discovery on track looked pretty good.
Yeah. Now, did Pike show up in season one, or is this only a season two thing?
At the very end, there's the shot where the ships meet, and it's the old Enterprise and it's Discovery, and Captain Pike is hailing us, and that's it.
I think this may be enough to finally get me to get on board with that CBS All Access.
Well, it definitely, I enjoyed first season quite a bit. I think it was a little, had a couple of issues. I think a lot of it was with, you know, they were playing musical producers and other problems with the show. But
now, I'm guessing you watched the trailer for this one as well.
I did, and I think it looks great. It's a much lighter approach. This feels more Star Trek-y than the first season did.
I don't know. There's the scene at the end where the alien, like, sneezes on the guy, and I'm like, oh, are they doing this in response to Orville's success?
I don't know. Also, that alien is unknown to me. That's a new character. The one that walks past him is Doug Jones, who is the man in the fish water.
Man in the fish castle.
Sexy fish, man. Anyway, I don't know how that's going to go, but I'm in for that. Any chance for there to be, you know, science fiction and or Star Trek stuff going, I'm signed up, so I'm good.
Yeah.
George R.R. Martin's Night Flyers. This was something I'd forgotten was in the works at all. This is a show coming to Sci-Fi, right? Sci-Fi, I believe.
Yeah, Sci-Fi Channel. I knew nothing about it until you put it here in the show note link, and then I watched it, and my initial reaction is, well, there's no incest that we know of, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
And then it felt like 2001 meets Solaris for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit of Solaris in there, a little bit of, what's the one where Dr. Grant gets all crackly in his skin out in space?
Oh, that's 2010.
No.
That's 2010.
Is that
there's
the
2001. Well, there's 2001.
Yeah.
That's the 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, but
the 2010, A Year We Make Contact is when, oh no, that's Haywood Floyd that goes out there and does that.
Wait. What am I thinking of? It's something, Lawrence Fishburne's in it. Event Horizon, that's it.
Oh,
thank you, Chad.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting an Event Horizon vibe big time.
Okay.
Which is the ship is possessed by the deal and they're all, oh, it's a scary ship. And I like space, cold space horror. I'm into it. Usually I'm into it on a 2-hour basis, not a, you know.
Yeah, for getting a whole season of stuff.
Yeah, a multi-series season thing. However, it's a big name. It's George R.R. Martin. I don't know if this is another book or something. I don't know where this comes from, but it's,
yeah, neither do I.
Yeah.
It could just be, hey, I have an idea and I sold this idea.
Totally.
Meanwhile, people are still clamoring for the next Game of Thrones book.
Yeah. And there were, you know, I've actually gone back and seen Event Horizon recently, and it's got problems. It's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about, you know, Aliens, another good example. The original Alien was, you know, the great horror movie. Second one was more of an action horror movie. But the first one, you know, was really a straight-up horror movie. If you've ever seen Sunshine, that's a fantastic space horror madness kind of thing. I'm into it. So Night Flyers coming this fall to SIFI, otherwise known as Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi.
Anyway, there's one. Hey, I got a question for you about Shazam.
Sure.
What the hell is this about? What the hell? What are we doing, Shazam?
So Shazam, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, there's a long story about that. We'll have to do another episode just about the Shazam Captain Marvel deal. But he is a lighter character. He has always been a character that was young Billy Batson, who, when he utters the name of the wizard Shazam, is able to turn into a superhero that is really as powerful, has all the same powers essentially as Superman does.
Yeah.
And so when this one came out and Zachary Levi was announced to be playing the grown-up version of this, people knew that it was going to be a little bit lighter and should be a little bit more humorous. And from the trailer, it looks again like they're borrowing a lot from the Geoff Johns run. That they are also, there was a Shazam animated movie that came out in the Warner Brothers animated universe a couple of years ago that kind of follows this exact same line that you see in a storyline that you see here in the trailer. It'll be interesting to see where the Dr. Savannah stuff comes in later on, or if it does at all. But when I first saw the original Entertainment Weekly and some of the pictures that were coming off of the set, one of the comments that I'd made on Twitter a long time ago was, does anyone else get a big vibe from this? And when I mean big, I mean Tom Hanks big.
Oh, yeah, totally, dude. Now, totally. My first impression was that this is big.
Yeah, with superheroes, yeah. Which isn't necessarily bad. I don't think big has aged that well. But my worry was that Billy Batson is just going to be, I wish I was big. And then suddenly the Shazam wizard is there saying, say my name and become this hero. And then we're going to have nothing but antics. And I was really worried about this. And my fears may have been a little bit confirmed because I went scurrying around on the internet last week before this trailer dropped, looking for any references to the movie Big and Shazam. And I stumbled across a behind the scenes clip that is from another country. And it literally has Shazam dancing on the keyboard from the Big movie.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And so then I was just like, oh, this really doesn't feel good. And then when I saw this trailer, I'm like, well, maybe it will be. There's a lot of heart and spirit. And to me, it feels like a fun movie, which is definitely something that DC needs right now. This is definitely inside this Justice League Man of Steel universe because they keep referencing Batman's, or there's a shot of Batman's Batarang. There is a shot of the newspaper of Superman up in the air. So this is all part of that universe. Now, whether they are going to have any of those characters ever appear in this movie, that is unknown at this point, but this is definitely going to be super, super light. So for people who want a grim and gritty DC universe, this ain't it.
It looks, Ant-Man-y in its approach.
Yeah.
Which I think is, it's fine. I think this is fine. I mean, DC needs to get itself in a place that's a little less serious.
Well, and I think that Wonder Woman 1984, which there's been no footage released that was shown at the convention panel.
Yeah.
But I think that and Shazam are going to be, hey, we've kind of figured out where we made some mistakes, kind of, maybe. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's okay if we're not dark and gritty all the time.
Right. Well, of course. Yeah. Like that feels like their biggest problem lately. So now it's time to do it. I would now point your attention and jump ahead a little bit to Titans, where you get Robin F-bombing. That seems the opposite direction. That seems like they're like, hey, you know those Teen Titans, squeaky clean defenders of truth and justice. What if it was all gritty and sweary and scary?
Yeah. So Titans, which again, notice that they've dropped the teen from that.
Yeah.
Titans is the thing that's going to debut with the DC Universe streaming service.
Yeah.
They've already been taking pre-orders. It's like $7.99 a month or $79 for the year. So essentially you're getting 3 months free out of the deal. This trailer dropped. A lot of people were excited about it until Robin breaks a guy's neck, or what looks to be breaking a guy's neck, and then says F Batman.
Yeah. F Batman. because Batman won't hurt or won't kill anybody, you see. But Robin, I guess this one's Dick Grayson, right?
Yeah, this is. And unfortunately, it's Dick Grayson. It, had this been Jason Todd saying this, had this been Jason Todd in this show, I would have been like, oh, yeah, that's totally in line with that character.
Yeah.
But not so with Dick Grayson.
F now, Batman.
Let me throw out an idea here. I've thrown this out a couple of times, and I think it has some merit to it. We have Teen Titans Go, which is the super, super kid-friendly thing. My kids are upstairs watching it as we speak because they can't get enough of Teen Titans Go. We have the Teen Titans animated series that came before Teen Titans Go, which was kind of middle of the road, kind of covered all bases. We have the Young Justice series. Season 3 will also come out with the DC Universe streaming service. And that is maybe tweens and above kind of attitude. Mm. And then we have Titans, which is definitely going to be for a mature or an adult audience. And so we will have, as fans, access to all four of these shows at the same time. And my thinking is, whether intentionally or unintentionally, Warner Brothers has realized that this is the one property that can cover all bases and work depending, no matter which audience they're targeting, and be a big moneymaker. So right. Even though Justice League may be a big name and Batman and Superman may be big names, I think Warner Brothers and DC Comics' biggest moneymaker, their biggest IP, are the Teen Titans, because they can fit into any story or age range or demographic that you want them to.
Yeah, they're in like, I don't know how many animated shows going on right now, but
yeah,
they're different. They're all different. Like, here's a goofy one that your four-year-old's going to freak out about.
Yep.
And here's one that the kid in high school is going to think is cool. And now here's this live action thing that makes Robin seem like, you know, a total badass. F Batman.
Yeah.
Here's my question about the F Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he just straight up Nightwing in this? Why is he still Robin?
I guess that is the biggest question, right? Because again, and I think part of it is when Teen Titans first started, it was definitely Robin. It was definitely Kid Flash in the comic books when they started. It was only after Wolfman and Perez decided to, and Teen Titans became DC's biggest seller back in the day, that Robin said, hey, I'm no longer Robin. I'm going to grow up. And he ditches his costume and says, I'm Nightwing.
Mm.
The irony is, minutes before, literally panels before in the same issue, everyone's like, oh my gosh, Wally, you're no longer Kid Flash. He's like, that's right. I'm going to come out as, you know, this character. And then literally you turn the page and here's Nightwing walking in with a brand new costume and looks totally different. And everyone's just totally not paying attention to Wally anymore.
Well,
so maybe this is something that should come up. But I really think, you know, when you look at the main characters that are in this Titan show and you know that both Young Justice, the regular Teen Titans, and the Teen Titans Go shows are out there, mm-hmm. I think people are going to expect Robin. And maybe if this gets a second season, maybe he changes his name to Nightwing.
Yeah. Could be. I find myself anxious to, at least from the sidelines, see how this goes.
Yeah. Now, are you going to sign up for the DC Universe streaming service?
It will depend on friends that I talk to who are way into this and what they tell me.
Yeah, I signed up for it instantly the day that it became available, only because, not because of Titans, but because of Young Justice Season 3, which if you guys have not watched,
it's so good.
The Young Justice animated series, it is brilliant. And I think this third season, they hinted that people are stealing people with the metagene, with superpowers, and are trying to weaponize them. So there's this black market of metagene criminalization that's going on.
Young Justice is awesome. All their animated stuff is great. They're direct. They just announced over this week as well. They're doing a Hush adaptation finally.
Yes. Yeah,
They're all good. This is enough of a basis for a streaming service. I mean, I give them that.
Oh, yeah.
But part
plus, you're going to have the original Superman movies are going to be there. They're bringing all their stuff onto this service, including the ability to read comic books, presumably on your computer, not your TV.
Yeah. And tablets and things, I would assume. But I don't. My biggest hang up about it is it's another streaming service. I know all of them are trying to figure out a way to do it. And maybe this is their way to do it. But then it just means I got to go somewhere else for my DC content.
Yep.
And that's kind of a bummer. But I'm going to wait and see what you say about Titans, if that's the big driver. It's probably
not.
I'll
be honest, I watched the trailer and I'm kind of less interested in it.
Also seemed a little low rent, didn't it? Like a little, I don't know.
Well, you kind of have to be. I mean, you're launching a streaming service, and Warner Brothers slash DC is not just backing Titans and Young Justice Season 3. They've also got a Stargirl series in the works. They've got Swamp Thing and Doom Patrol. So they're going to have five original series that are going to come out within the next year on that streaming service.
Wait, Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol is the one that originally had Beast Boy. It has Robot Man.
Right.
The guys in the wheelchair. You've got not Elastigirl, but essentially she will grow up into different sizes.
Rubber Woman.
Not Rubber Woman.
That's not a real thing, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay. I like the idea of a Rubber Woman, although I'm sure other people like it for different reasons. All right.
Yes.
Final thing, because we're almost out of time.
Uh-huh.
We should at least address this James Gunn thing.
Yeah.
James Gunn got fired from Guardians of the Galaxy. He's not going to direct 3.
Right.
It happened because... don't even want to invoke his name, but let's say a certain person on the internet whose name rhymes with Brnovich, who likes to do this sort of stuff. He's a huge troll. Took some issue with James Gunn and then went and dug up some really ancient.
Yeah, stuff from like 2000. It's over a decade. It's stuff that's a decade old.
Yeah, some really old stuff on James Gunn that he said on Twitter. Some very distasteful jokes about pedophilia, about rape, about this sort of stuff. And then brought them all to light. And Disney immediately fired James Gunn. The only part I found weird was back in like 2012, I remember an interview, or 13 maybe, an interview with James Gunn before the release of Guardians 1,
mm-hmm.
where he, in a very public way, in an interview that was published online and maybe even in print, talked about his old social media posts and was apologizing for them. And
yeah.
So I don't know why Disney didn't have that's my only real complaint. Because I get Disney doing this. I get them doing this. It's Disney. This is what they do. You do something like this, they find out about it, and they fire you because they're Disney. I get it.
Except Disney knew about this stuff before they hired him. All this stuff came to light when he was being hired for the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. He apologized. He said, I was a provocateur at the time. I was just trying to be funny. It's dark humor. Hey, look, I don't think the jokes are funny. I like dark humor, but that's a little bit too far for me. But Disney went ahead and hired him anyway. Flash forward to today when suddenly a big deal is being made of it. And suddenly Disney does have to do something. And I think that there could be we did it with Roseanne. We got to do it with James Gunn, too.
Yeah, they totally did the same. What they did is exactly what they did with Roseanne.
What?
And some people celebrated the Roseanne thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And those same people are freaking out because their precious James Gunn is gone. I think everyone needs to take a nice... I mean, I don't want James Gunn...
You
want to
hear my conspiracy theory?
Yes, what?
Last month, there was a big to-do because there was another major media merger going on.
Yeah.
And someone got upset about it. And that person, your favorite person in the whole wide world, ended up suing. The administration sued to keep that merger from happening. Now that this Fox deal is going to go through with Disney,
yeah.
I think the last thing that Disney wanted was to have that group of people that were making a big deal over these 10-year-old tweets,
yeah.
having it rise to the surface and having someone up top try to step in and block that merger again.
Yeah.
That is my big concern, is that it's popped in my mind over the weekend. It's like, oh, what if Disney only did this to cut it off now before it bubbled up higher and somebody high up decided to put a raging tweet out?
People like to oversimplify and see it as just a knee-jerk reaction, but none of this stuff is done without a huge board meeting full of top brass at Disney. Like, there's no way this was knee-jerk. So you're probably right. I don't think it's conspiracy at all, or I don't think it's, you know, traditional conspiracy theory. I think that's a fair idea that they're trying to avoid that sort of thing. Regardless, it's got me thinking more broadly about, you know, if this was, let's say, I'm trying to think of somebody who's kind of reviled by the left, like...
Reviled by the left?
Well,
Sean Hannity.
Let's say it's Sean... Yeah. There you go. If Sean Hannity... 10 years ago tweeted a bunch of stuff and this just got dug up by, I don't know, Rachel Maddow or somebody. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, look what Sean Hannity said. He made fun of pedophilia and rape. In fact, he was having such a good time. Maybe he is a rapist, you know, like all this. And then Fox fires him. there'd be people celebrating in the streets that they fired him over something like that. If the exact same thing happens to James Gunn, those exact same people are offended and can't believe you'd fire him. And oh my gosh, let the man, you know, it was 10 years ago.
Right.
That's my biggest problem with the entire mess is it is so tribal about who you're upset about, who gets fired for what bad behavior. Mm-hmm. It's inconsistent across the board and it drives me crazy. So part of me, only a part, likes that Disney, the part that didn't get ravaged by the fever, or maybe the only whatever vestige is left of my brain, it is glad Disney is just black and white about it.
Yes.
Because anything else just opens up a bag of cheese nobody wants to smell.
Right. Oh, no, you're right. I mean, and again, I'm not saying that what James Gunn wrote 10 years ago is appropriate. It's dark humor. Some people like dark humor. But that was a bit too far. But at the same time, he's come out and has shown that he is a changed person and he's not that same person
that
he was. And I think that's the part that most people are upset about is that it's very true that he is a changed person, whereas some of these other people that the chat is talking about have not changed.
That's like,
I remember Sean Hannity when he was in Atlanta, when I was there in 96 and I had to do a long interview with him. And I just thought he was kind of a creep then.
That's good to know. Actually. I mean, I don't know. I always assumed that when he was in Atlanta or not, you know, Mr. National.
Oh no, he was totally banging the same. I would listen to him every day when I drove home from work. And then when he announced he was moving to, I forget where he moved after that. I was kind of like, good, I'm glad he's gone. And then, like I said, I was doing a documentary on the election that year, the 96 election. And
was that with Bob Dole?
That was Bob Dole. Yep. We followed his campaign.
Bob and Dole. So we had to go vote and, for Bob Dole. That's what Bob Dole says. I miss him. He's great.
And because Hannity was the big Republican promoter in Atlanta, we did a big interview with him and he was just, I don't know.
I get you. But my point is, like, on the one hand, you could say, if you were a big Hannity fan, though, you might say he's grown in 10 years. Like, you can take that position no matter where you land.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you on the hypocrisy part. Yeah.
And that's why it's hard. And so I guess the lesson is probably all your shit's online now. So hopefully you didn't do something dumb. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because even if it didn't bite you in the butt the first time it came to light, it might later because the tone of the national conversation changes and now suddenly it's a big deal. Like, I am supremely bummed out from a talent, creative, leadership position of him not being associated with Guardians now. I think that's bad for the series, that James Gunn is no longer in charge.
Correct.
Of that. But that being said, I don't think I could with a straight face say, and that's the reason you shouldn't have fired it. Like, you have to, if you're Disney, I think you just have to just lay down the poop.
Well, and again,
whether you agree with them or not, you just go, all right.
From a Disney standpoint, whether my conspiracy theory on someone higher up blasting out a tweet going, I don't know if Fox should be affiliated with anything Disney with when they've got pedophiles and stuff. No, I mean, that's the thing that they want to avoid. But at the same time, they don't want the word pedophile coming anywhere near the Disney name.
Yeah. I don't even feel there's something I'd like people to try. You can go back through my, actually, I wouldn't mind somebody doing this so I could make sure I'm right, because I'm pretty sure I'm right. You can go back through my entire Twitter feed and you will not find one F-bomb. And I know that's not the same, and I'm not trying to say it's the same. I'm saying that I'm not comfortable saying the F-bomb and using it in a public way. So I never say it on Twitter. And I have over 120,000 something tweets. You'll never find me tweeting the F-bomb. I might be in a retweet of somebody else's or something like that, but I've never tweeted the F-word. I'm really glad that I also have never tweeted the word pedophile or tweeted the word whatever. You know, like just don't push your limits even when you think you're being... I mean, I don't know what James Gunn was doing 10 years ago. He was making weird horror movies and writing shitty scripts and he didn't care. He wasn't hired by the biggest corporation in the world to make one of the biggest series of all time. I feel bad for him. And I like his work, and so I'm super bummed about it. It just sucks around.
Here's the thing. He is not going around today saying, oh, this is so unfair. Don't you guys understand? This is humor. He's not saying any of that. He's like, look, I understand. I've always known that these tweets or these jokes were going to come back and haunt me someday. And I've been, for the last however many years, willing to accept whatever consequence comes from that. And so he understands Disney's decision, and he's not going out and crying spilt milk about it. I'm sure he feels really bad. I certainly feel bad for him. I don't want to see people lose jobs over something that they said stupid 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But you know, he's also not going out and going, hey, everybody, go and call Disney today and tell them that they need to give me my job back. He's not doing any of that. In fact, he deleted his Twitter account.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's one way to get rid of those tweets.
Yeah. Well, and which brings up the bigger question of, when you were hired by Disney and knew that what their policy was 10 years ago, why didn't you scrub your account then?
Well, because then I always feel like if you try to do that sort of thing where you sort of cherry pick, someone's going to come back because people are like, that's always been my attitude. If I'm putting it out there, I'm freaking putting it out there. Mm-hmm. And I hope what I'm putting out, like I may say something on the show today that in 2018 is innocuous and no big deal. But what if in 20 years, somebody digs up some ancient audio of today's show with me and Steven, and they hear this thing and go, oh my gosh, can you believe he said that? Because in the year 2022, it's complete taboo to say the thing I said. It's
right,
entirely
right.
Possible. But I don't know, man. Here it is. Just lay it out. Have some. Here's my buffet. Just leaving it behind me as I go.
Yeah, and I'm not proud of everything that I've ever tweeted out. I remember back when there was that shooting at the theaters in Colorado a few years ago. I just went off on I can't say that my Twitter feed is clean of F-bombs.
No. I'm not prescribing this to everybody else. Here's one from 2017.
Uh-oh, is it mine?
No. So you did use some of these words. Oh, this isn't the same, you guys. Anyway, the tweet goes like this. This is November 2017. Was just told via email that I'm being political when I take a stand against pedophiles, rapists, and sexual predators. I don't know how to respond to this. That's not going to haunt me. That one's fine. Unless someday it becomes really cool to be pro-pedophile.
Oh,
rapist.
I don't think that.
Exactly.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
Exactly. Ever happen. I mean, that's a world of the upside down, and let's hope we never get there. But come on, chat room. Give me better. You can give me more than that. Let's get it going. All right. We're done, and Steven, are you late for a thing?
No, not yet. The boy's got a swimming lessons. The reason why we had to start late, and thank you for accommodating me, Scott, today, is because he had soccer practice this morning. Now he's got swimming lessons here shortly. We got some time.
Your proper fathering is what's going on here.
Hopefully. We'll see when he gets that $1 million contract. I will say, and if there's anybody in the chat or anyone that's listening that wants to contact me at Major Spoilers on Twitter, my perception of this year's San Diego Comic-Con from 1,000 miles away was that it was not as quote-unquote eventful or big as years past. And I say this because on Saturday, when I follow the hashtag San Diego Comic-Con feeds, in years past, they have been flying by so quickly that I couldn't even read them. This year, it felt like a trickle. And I've seen pictures from the show floor where there's a lot of space between people. And I had one person contact me and say, yeah, this year I've been going every year and this year just didn't feel as busy. It felt like a show from 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I saw one other person say that they were super busy during the show. But she hasn't responded back to me on whether or not, it was as packed. I'm sure they sold as many tickets, but it just didn't feel that way for me. And I was just wondering if anybody who went to the San Diego Comic-Con who's listening would let me know if it felt as crowded and congested and as crazy and insane as it has been in years past, or if this year was kind of a down year.
Yeah, because I felt like the output was okay. Like, you got some decent stuff. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, I guess, because the expectations were a little bit low, given Disney's low profile and a few other things there.
Right.
I think people thought it was going to be worse in terms of what we'd actually hear about or see. But even just the stuff we covered today, you know, strong showing. It's all right.
Mm-hmm. Mostly all media stuff. I mean, as I talked about last week, a lot of the smaller publishers had all of their announcements come out before the show. So people kind of knew what was going on ahead of time.
Yeah.
DC and Marvel did have a few things, but a lot of the things that I saw them tweeting about or talking about at the panels are books that are coming out or launching in October and November. Oh, by the way, everybody, we haven't had any solicitations for October 2018 yet because the publishers are waiting till after the show to release that. So I think this week on the site, majorspoilers.com, we will have the solicitations from all of the publishers, and you will see that a lot of the things that they announced at the show are appearing in your new previews catalog.
Gotcha. All right, comic fans, you're covered. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
You're solid. All right, we're going to get out of here.
Thanks, Scott. This has been really fun, man.
Steven, thank you for making time in your schedule. It means a lot.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Tomorrow, our co-host of the day will be Justin Robert Young. And on Wednesday, Brian Dunaway. And then it'll be back on Thursday. So
excellent.
Yeah, it'll be great. So we got it all covered this week. And I'm not missing a show this week. The original plan was work all last week, you know, before I was sick. And then this week, maybe one or two might get missed because Ibbit was gone. So I thought, okay, well, we can do that. But no, 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 not now. No, we're going to we're gonna make it work. And yes, chat room, I say F a lot on Twitter, just without the actual F word. I realize that. Some might argue it's the same. Anyway, I got to quit looking at it's usually Brian's job to be all distracted by the chat room. Today, I had to take over and be a little distracted by them. Well done, guys. Well done. All right, we're done. Steven, anything you want to tell people about before we kick you out?
Well, stay hydrated, drink, have plenty of vitamin C.
Yeah.
Follow me on Twitter at Major Spoilers. Check out our website, MajorSpoilers.com. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/MajorSpoilers. We are on the verge of hitting 2 goals in 1 month. I'm very excited about that. So if you like what we do and want to kick a little bit back, I would certainly appreciate that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Do check it out, you guys. Known Steven almost as long as I've known anybody that I work with, and it's been a pleasure to have you here today, so thanks for being on.
Thanks, man.
Gonna get out of here with a song. Now, you guys are used to us doing indies in the middle. I'm doing an indie at the end, and here's what's exciting. This particular indie band is somebody who's performing here very soon, right here in Salt Lake City, at a place called Kilby Court, which is a very popular venue for young bands trying to get their stuff out there. So we'll talk about that in a second. But anyway, they were introduced to us by James from James and Svet, a.k.a. Same Sex Mary. They sent an email to Brian letting them know about these guys. They're a pretty cool surf slash garage band with a great modern take and a throwback vibe is the way it's described. The name of the band is Rebel Set. He basically gave Brian carte blanche on as to which song to play. And the new album coming up is called Smidgen Pigeon, which will be released by Outro Records in the coming months, so keep your eyes on that. Anyway, they are going to be starting at Kilby Court in Salt Lake City on Wednesday to finish out their tour. Then they're on to Boise, Portland, Seattle, Eugene, Oregon, then Reno, then Oakland, and then finally L.A. You can find info on them at the_rebel_set on Instagram, or just search for The Rebel Set on Facebook. And again, the remaining shows are, let's see, the Reno, Nevada. Oh, maybe these already happened. Let's see. Yeah, some of these happened. Poop. So Nevada's next. Reno, Nevada, then Oakland, then LA. The Loving Cup, the Golden Bowl, and the Redwood Bar. If you are living in those areas, you probably know what those are. I think it's going to do it for us. If you'd like to join our Patreon, patreon.com/TMS is the way to do it. You can also go to our website, which is over at frogpants.com/TMS. And you can email me. morningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson, Coverville, and of course, our guest host today, Major Spoilers. It's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. It'd be great if my song was ready, and it's totally not, because Brian usually does this. Hold on a second. And there it is. We'll see you guys next week. Or no, bye, tomorrow. Guys. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Tomorrow. I'll see you next week, Steven.
Yes.
But everyone else, I'll see you tomorrow.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.